You get me. the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling.
Shall I fear? can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that arose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded death to wait, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can call a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us. We'll be right back.
It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Fade without words, baby. It just ain't happening. One is your left hand, one is your right. It'll take two strong arms to hold on tight. Some folks have cut off the nose by their face. I think you need some words to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow, the other one just make you sleep. Talk about it. But I really think you ought to take a leap off of the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith comes from God, from every word that He breathes. He lets you take it to your heart so you can give it hands and feet. Gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice. Otherwise, it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without words, baby. It just ain't happening. One is your right, one is your left. It's your life, your guide, your life and your breath. The faith without words is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Okay, time to start talking. Hi, this is Jerry. I was trying to lamb down my dinner. For the religious-minded out there, never fear. I didn't want to say wolf down my dinner because you know, somebody could take that the wrong way. But anyway, hi. Well, I've got just a few quick things for the show tonight. I need to keep it down. I've got, frankly, I had a big day yesterday, and I'm still recovering from it. more than I would have expected to be. But anyway, it was just really busy. Had a lot of mental gear switching, if you will. And, of course, today has its own things. So, anyway, hi. I have a couple of things for you. Let me, hi to Faith in chat, by the way. Good to see you, Faith. We, I guess I'll start with the title page of the show. And that kind of backtracks me into a couple of other things. As I mentioned the other day, usually when the Lord gives me a verse for the show, he just gives me a chapter and literally a chapter and verse, like in this case, Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. He actually gave me verse 8. And I included verse 7, which puts it in context. And that was interesting because I was actually in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1 for a little teaching I have for this evening. But Samuel is, among other things, about Samuel. But the verses are, the Lord brings poverty and gives wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the garbage pile. He sets them with the noblemen and gives them a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. He has set the world on them. Sorry for the question marks. I didn't notice those. It's a pasting thing. And I didn't see them before I entered the... before I pressed enter. Anyway, that was the Lord's statement, if you will, for today. And I want to back out now to that next to last song I played, which was Screen Door by Rich Mullins. And the line is, Screen Door on a Submarine, which is obviously not a good idea. And I played that because I just saw as I was starting the show that there's a news item on Fox News. I couldn't find it yet on other news stations, like websites. By the way, if you want to know what the establishment and the government and and the news media want and what their perspective is, just go to their stations and everything is an opinion piece. Anyway, you'll see some political discussions about Trump's rally in Chicago today. Is it a shock that there was a disturbance in Chicago at a Donald Trump rally? I think not. I'm mentioning the submarine because I saw this news item that it just says, and it's very kind of a weird story the way that it's written. It's a very short story. I don't know if we'll get more details or not, but it says North Korea is missing a submarine. They have small attack submarines, two-person crew that can accommodate about six raiders or, an attack squad, a reconnaissance squad. And it really doesn't say, the article doesn't say how they know this. And this is out of the ordinary. This would not be an announcement ordinarily of a communist regime, normally they never admit when they lose military capital, especially submarines. In fact, nobody really ever does admit losing a submarine until it becomes obvious, because they don't want to alert other powers to it. So why is this in the news? Well, either North Korea has announced this, which they didn't say, and it really isn't lost. It's on some kind of a mission, and they just want plausible deniability. Or it could be that, but they don't attribute it, this statement, to North Korea. It could be that that they've intercepted intelligence, and so now they're making the announcement. Thing is, usually when that's the case, the South Koreans trumpet a victory over North Korea by stating that they have captured the intelligence now that they know the information. And since they didn't say that, that is not as likely. And so the question becomes, how do they know? And the two options that I see, either A, it's a dummy story they planted in the media to see how North Korea responds to the possibility that one of their submarines is missing. And the third and almost parallel similarity is that maybe they know the North Korean submarine is missing is because they have either captured it, it has defected, or it was destroyed by the West. And I think these things are the most likely under the circumstances. But anyway, it was enough of a prompting to get me to play Screen Door, because North Korea should not build their submarines with screen doors. Okay, enough of the pseudo-hilarity. Let me continue on now with things a little bit more substance. Actually, it's infinitely. The truth is, infinitely more substance. However, my first inkling when I saw that headline was, by the way, sorry to go back to the Korea thing, North Korea could act like they've lost a submarine because in order to send it on an attack mission. Because in the last several days, two weeks really, the West has been putting really a lot of pressure on North Koreans. And normally, when the North Koreans make their bombastic, overly aggressive statements, the media, Western media, feigns horror, and the North Koreans get satisfaction from having stirred up the dust. This time, that has not been happening, and I mentioned this a few days ago. Within a period of 3 days, they made two separate threats to use nuclear weapons, and most particularly on the United States, including threatening to completely destroy Washington, D.C., presumably with their nuclear weapon. And nobody flinched. And they're not used to this. And when you have a boaster, when you have someone or a nation who is living on braggadocio and aggression, whether it's verbal aggression or not, it's in the background of that is a considerable amount of fear, normally. And what really spikes the fear is when people quit reacting, when it quits working. And it's just like the look you see on a child's face when a terrible two kind of thing, when a tactic they feel like they've used successfully to manipulate their parents or other kids, particularly their parents, when the parent has a different reaction than the child expects, there is silence and a look of deep concern on the child's face as they realize, oh, wait, that didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And then they become uncertain. They realize and feel that they're not in control. And this is, I think, what we may have happening here with North Koreans. And the fact that this submarine is presumably missing in the middle of all of these back and forth, all of this back and forth, very aggressive rhetoric on both sides, That's what drew my attention at the first. So I would keep an eye on this story. Let's see if we can get a few more details, whether they're true or not, and we'll see how this plays out. Okay, so I was in 1 Samuel today, and I was led to it. Oh, by the way, I have it's really irritating probably when I do this. Sorry. I have a brief statement about Ezekiel. For those, I don't want to get into this today, but if you, Ezekiel chapter 1 is almost, in fact, the first several chapters of Ezekiel are almost identical to the book of Revelation, particularly beginning with chapter 4. And if you want to know on what day is represented by the events John depicts in chapter 4 of Revelation, you might consider looking at Ezekiel chapter 1. And I'll just leave it at that for right now. So I was led today to look up the meaning of Hannah, who was Samuel's mother. Hannah was one of two wives of Elkanah, who obviously was Samuel's father, and he had two wives. One wife's name, I don't remember exactly how to pronounce it, I'm not looking at it, but her name means diamond. And Hannah's name, the other wife, means grace. And the wife whose name meant diamond or precious stone had several children. And she would mock and disturb Hannah because Hannah had been childless. And it was obviously a consideration of great grief for Hannah. And so the point is, if we take the message in their names, diamonds, in other words, that which was wealthy had a lot of children. That which was grace had none. And Hannah went to the temple and in the presence of Eli, but not directly to him, she was praying to God. And while she was praying, her lips were moving. She wasn't speaking out loud. Eli could not hear what she was saying. But she was there imploring God to open her womb and give her a child. And she pledged that if he did so, that she would in turn never cut his hair and pledge him entirely to God and put him in service at the temple under Eli, which is what she eventually did. When Eli saw Hannah praying, he could see her lips moving, and I think it was in the morning. But anyway, it was during the day, and Eli perceived that Hannah was drunk. And he told her to put away her wine and or her beer. And she said, "No, it's not like that. There is no wine. I have not had any wine or any beer. That this is I'm petitioning God for a son." And he said, "Very well, go on your way." This reminded me of Pentecost. And when she's moving her lips, would not have been unlike Pentecost, people speaking in tongues or the tongues that we speak in today, which sometimes people don't hear, but if they do hear, obviously it's usually not a language they understand, unless they have discernment. But my point here is today, there seems to be a link, because we know that the giving of the Holy Spirit brought in the age of grace. Hannah's name means grace. Hannah was childless until she appealed to God. In other words, she had not been fruitful. And but the wealthy, the fancy stone, the pressure, the valuable stone, the diamond, whose name was the meaning of the other wife, she had many children. And the world has always been like this. The wealthy, the privileged, what have you, they have their children. They have their spiritual offspring, which is more wealth, land, this, that, and the other thing. And Hannah was humble and represented grace. And the fact that that Eli recognized and accused her of being drunk is exactly like, excuse me, it's exactly like the accusation that was made against the followers of Jesus on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they had to go out and say, you know, we're not drunk, it's only 10 in the morning, and so on and so forth. They fall under the Spirit of God. So grace got its child or children by an appeal to God and God meeting Hannah on that field. Now, there's more to the story about Samuel. And it was interesting today that he led me to that. He led me to Samuel through Hannah. I was watching something today, and Hebrew words were being spoken, and I heard one of them, and it's one, quite frankly, it's one that caught my ear because of some of my experience in prayer. And so I looked it up, of course, in Hebrew, it's more of a CH, like Hana, and it's extremely similar to the first portion of the word Hanukkah, because that's Hanukkah. And so those syllables catch my ear, and that's what led me to that, so it led me to Samuel, and then later on, he led me to a verse in the next chapter, which really didn't relate to anything that I had read about Hannah. And so I just find that interesting. Without going into a lot of detail, Mama Pat's daughter is doing much better. She's not out of the woods, but she's much feistier and has been moved out of critical care, for those of you who are following that. I think I'll just leave it at that for now, because we have no idea how this is going to go. She still has serious medical issues. I bring that up mostly because I also know that her son-in-law went into the emergency room today, and that, quite frankly, we're having both deeply spiritual and personal challenges, a lot of us right now. And I think it is safe to say, not only individually, but on behalf of the group, we are in a period of trial. There's no doubt in my mind about it. It is extremely varied, but everything, if it's more of the same, it is more acute. And in many cases, it's something different. And I can tell you probably, I just know that it's true for the majority of us who are regular here. So we are in a time of trial. Speaking of times of trial, one of the ways that I interpreted our February 5th date set was that, by saying one of the ways, one of the very strong ways that I was feeling like was appropriate to look at this, our February 5th date set, I think, was the beginning of a 40-day period of trial. That leads to March 16th. It is interesting, and quite frankly, one of the reasons I've been led to that is because of the experience and the example of Jesus, where he was anointed in the power of God in front of John the Baptist. He was taken out of the river and sent directly into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and nights. And the scripture says after that he was hungry. That was my Mr. Obvious verse of the day. that day I read that. And and then after that, after the 40 days, Satan took him and placed him at the top of the temple in Jerusalem and made several different offers. Basically, all that I have is yours if you will bow to me. And hold on just a second real quick. And this tempting occurred right after that 40-day period, and I don't believe it lasted long, less than a day. And Jesus was in trial and then tempted. It looks to me like this pattern is playing out over our group, not anyone individually, but over our group. And another part of that is we learned that as early as the evening of the 5th, or at least early on the 6th, before daybreak, North American time, that sometime during the 6th on North American time, anyway, I don't want to. We found out a week later that, or a few days later, I can't remember. Anyway, we found out about this donkey that had been crowned and had been redeemed at the request of the farmer, had been redeemed on the Mount of Olives. And,
I say hi to the show, too.
Yeah, my daughter says hi to the show. The hugs are bad for headphone placement, we find out. Anyway, that's great. Not a problem. I see that is somehow equivalent to the dove hovering over Jesus as he was baptized. And so much of prophecy is types and patterns. And it was God who did that for Jesus. Jesus didn't walk up and say, I'm the Son of God, and, don't you see the dove hovering? That's not how it went. It was the other way around. It was the power of God that induced the events, and it was God whose declaration over Jesus came from him. And so we have these things as an example. We didn't have any control, obviously, over the donkey being redeemed in Jerusalem. But it's quite the thing. And I suspected this from the very beginning. I didn't really want to mention it at the time because to give any, I really didn't have an example I could give that would have been easy for other people to relate to, particularly anybody who might listen to this who's not, in depth part of our RCC church family. So I really didn't want to go out there with that because I didn't want to create, I just wouldn't have been able to say very much. As you know, sometimes I try to make points and I don't give you a lot of details because it involves other people. It's just how I'm led to handle it. And however, in this case, I think we've had enough experiences over enough people now that the things that I know that I'm not sharing right now, but there's things I know that are going on kind of all over the place with a whole lot of people that I'm hearing from. And I know that we're in a time of trial. There's no doubt about it. I also know that other members of our group agree with that wholeheartedly. So I'm mentioning that, and I think that it's relevant. That 40-day time of trial would go either to the 16th or the 17th of March, which is coming up rapidly. We also have a date set for the 23rd of March, which is the beginning of Purim. It's the fast of Esther that day. And there also was some interesting garage work came up today, some of which I generated, some of which Tom noticed. And I am still focused on March. I don't want to get into, let's just say there's enough time to talk about it. One of the things that I came up with, Dave, started from a video Pat sent me, somebody's teaching on 2016 and fall feasts. And I worked back from his example, and I found another particular day in Scripture that matched, in my opinion. If you combine the words that we've gotten through Judy's son, when he was a full prophet about the order of events, after we go, and including the worldwide rapture and afterwards, if you take those days and take it straight back to a if you combine the information that's highlighted in this video with our understanding of end time events and around surrounding the rapture, then it actually leads you back to a particular date, which matches exactly a particular scripture. And so I find that very interesting. It also matches other details, but that's a story for another day, if you will. That's a testimony, a teaching. And honestly, it sets it a few months down the road, and I'm hoping that that's not the case. I'm hoping we have. I have said all along that I believe we're going to see big changes in March. I'm not completely sure what those changes are going to be, but I believe they're going to be big, and I believe they're going to be readily identifiable. And I have no idea right now, to be clear, what they are. I'm hoping that it is a shift in existence for us, but I can tell God is working right now. He's allowing work to be done. And, you know, there is a verse in 2 Samuel about... But there's a verse where David discusses, you know, in his existence. He goes through a lot of things, and David runs afoul. Yeah, it's the same. And David runs afoul of a lot of the population. He's under duress. He's having to run for his life out of Jerusalem after having the king. And he has to leave the palace behind and so on and so forth. And the people have taken the other side. One of the men runs along the hillside as he's leaving and is literally cursing him, is leveling curses and mocking David. And his men want to kill the man who was known to them for having done so. And he said, no. He says, those curses are from God. Those evil curses are from God. And David understood that even things which are evil and it can be from God. And David recognized them as just and from God, and therefore not to be retaliated against. In other words, if God wants to discipline us, we need to have the character to try to receive that. And that's what David was doing in that moment. And so David himself said, even though he was fully anointed in the Spirit of God, which is also clearly scriptural, he recognized that things which appeared evil, which were evil in their nature, negative, if you will, and not nice against David, literal curses being called out upon him. He recognized that ultimately they were from God. And he chose to accept that God chose to do that. So it's a hard thing sometimes to see what we see around us personally or in the world. But I believe that this was... And it's certainly not easy under any circumstances. And I just pray that we all have the opportunity or the ability to, actually, I pray we don't have to deal with that opportunity. But I do pray that we do have, if we would face a similar circumstance or have faced one in the past, that we would continue to see God's leading in these things and have the composure God wants us to have and receive, good or bad, whatever God wants to send to us. That's pretty much what I have right now. Oh, look at there. There's one of that. We're going to run out of live air here in about a minute. And so I see BJ and Nate. So anyway.
No, I was with Gerald.
Hey. Hi, Pat.
Oh, hi. Yeah, no, I had a phone call. No, my daughter called me.
Hi, Mama, Pat. We love you.
Love you too, honey. It's Stephen, my son-in-law. He's in the hospital. He has possibly MS. They're very sure of it. He had MRI and CAT scan. So my daughter is in the hospital with him. But she has studied all kinds of the stuff for natural cures and juicing and yada yada. So she's pretty sure she can help him, you know, get through this. But it's tough. It's tough. The others might go up this weekend. I got to stay here because of Gerald, you know, so. It's crazy. I heard you talking about trials, and I said, oh, yeah. We're all going through something. I mean, it rains, it pours. It's just, it's insane. But I have to trust the Lord. You know, I'm not going to get crazy. I mean, you know, I'm used to taking a lot, as I guess a bunch of us are, and just got to get through it and try to stay calm, you know. So, poor Steve, though. First of all, he's a man, and they don't like to be sick, and they have to be dying to go to the doctor, you know.
Yeah.
So he's in the hospital, and Miriam is staying overnight with him. And Gerald just called. She might go to the rehab on Monday if things are okay to start trying to get her legs stronger. So she's kind of back from the dead. Literally, I don't know how else to put it. Several times she just kind of like didn't make it. But God always sees, brings her back. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm just listening and just here.
Yeah.
Want to hang on. Yeah, like the rest of us. A lot of my friends online, they all have problems. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's that time we are in a time of trial. There's no doubt in my mind.
I like the 40-day thing you said.
Mm-hmm.
So March 16th. That number.
March 16th. Maybe the 17th, you know, right around in there.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know how anybody gets through this life without having faith. I'm telling you, they got to be crazy. Because even with faith, it's hard. You know,
We
have the assurance of God in charge. So just got to go with what he's going to do. I think he's pruning and he's chiseling and he's waking up and he's fine-tuning and whatever, you know, getting people, waking them up and making them think about him and pray, you know. I don't know. I'm seeing my family. So even though we're going through trials, I see good coming out of this too, you know. That's bringing people closer. So good stuff has come from it.
I've said this a couple of times now, and I know some of us might not really understand this, but I'm completely convinced that those who are close to us, quite frankly, one of the reasons they're having things drawn out of themselves in their lives. You know, in many cases, it's things within them that you know, like if it's a personality thing, might be drawn out for them to work on. Because the people who have issues, it's hard to work on them and make them better if they're hidden underneath the surface.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I believe things are being brought to the surface right now.
Yes,
just
I agree.
Just like dross in a refinery, refining process.
Yeah.
I believe it's being brought to the surface in order, and I believe it's happening for the loved ones and the ones in our proximity now to whom we are a testimony or an example. And, and so I really think that I really think
bringing
that,
them about.
Yeah, it, and it's at least beginning in our presence. Quite frankly, I have someone like that not too far from me, and they are having that. And but this has now been going on. I mean, honestly, way longer than I ever imagined. And so it's been quite the educational process in that regard, because it has gone on for a very long time, and I didn't expect that. But I also know, but it's continuing, and I can see it. And of course, sometimes there's spiritual discernment involved, and but we can see it and get it, and.
Because it's been a lot of stuff too soon, too much, too fast, that you kind of have to catch your breath.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No.
Right. Yeah, so. And so I guess I'm just trying to say that I think, it would seem to be those people's bad luck because they're around us. I believe these things are being drawn out because those people are close to us. And I believe God is working, if you will, in an advanced way with these people around us a little more than he's working with the general population. And
possibly.
And I believe the purpose in that is actually a blessing, although it doesn't look like it right now. But it's a blessing for them. Because it puts them a step ahead of everybody else who will be left after we've gone. And however that plan goes, I really have a great assurance that that's the case. And and I think the pattern of it is pretty clear, and it certainly is, you know, with the people I talk to, it's very clear to me. And, I just wanted to mention that again, because all these trials, for anyone out there, I mean, Pat, I know you pretty much get this anyway. So, but for anybody out there who's seeing similar things. You know, these are things that are coming for everybody, or worse, more difficult. In other words, let's put it this way. The worse your spiritual condition is, the more difficult your testing and trial will be. And this, because the point is to clean it out, to make it right. There's coming a time when none of that will be accepted into God's kingdom on earth or in heaven. And these things have to be dealt with, and so the people close to us are having to deal with it now. People, maybe not as close to us, or people that are sort of out at large in the population, everybody's going to have to deal with their junk, okay? Everybody.
Yeah.
There is no... You know, there's no bunker, there is no... there's not even ritual. There's nothing that will protect you from your own junk, because whatever you've got harbored inside of you is going to come to the surface. And it's either going to come to the surface in a manner in which you entreat God to help you with it, or if you try to bury it and keep it hidden, you will perish with it, because your junk is going to perish. One way or the other. And everyone's junk. Everybody's junk. Everybody's issues. Everybody's junk. Anything that would get between them and God, it's all going to go away. And so the fact that people are near us are going through this now is actually a blessing to them, but it's hard to see it some way, in human
terms.
But,
that's true.
But everybody's junk is going to be processed before this is all over. And You can process, I use this old, ad tagline, you can pay God now or you can pay God later. You can process it now or you can process it later. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the only thing that is absolutely, completely inevitable are the aspects of the end times as God wills. And anything that is incompatible with his presence will be disposed of. And you don't want to hang on to the things that are being thrown away. You want to let go of them. However scary and however how much, whether it's privilege or wealth or whatever it is, but you do it as he leads you and you do it seeking him. You can't just make an act. You can't, if you're not doing it with respect to God, then you're not doing it for him. Then it's not about your relationship. It's not about your heart and your relationship with him. So a physical act is meaningless without the foundational relationship with God through Jesus. So, okay, that's what I have. In fact, that's pretty much what I have to say.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Deal with it or, boy, I'm telling you.
Well, it's going to be dealt with. Sooner or later, it's going to be dealt with. Everybody's going to deal with their junk. Everybody.
Yeah.
And what's that, Judy? I couldn't.
Well, I'm saying he's an equal opportunity employer. I mean, he was my dude. And he's letting him go through some of the trial right now. I'm like, wow, God.
Wow.
So I'm not sure.
So, even my son, I'm telling you, he's no discrimination. And
can barely hear you, Judy.
Okay.
Okay, her line dropped off. So that's where we're at. It was my intention tonight, Pat.
I have to go on mute. I'll listen to you. Laura wants to talk to me. Listen, let me say goodbye, guys. I love you, okay?
Love you, Mom, Pat.
Okay,
I'm going
to
send it out
here
myself. So
sure, go ahead. Good night, everybody.
See you on the air and keep me up to date, okay?
I will. Okay. Bye-bye. Love you all. Bye. Bye.
Love you.
What's going on?
And so that's kind of where we're at. And praise God. We'll see how things go. And keeping up with stuff. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and send it out tonight. Thinking of the 16th, we'll play a couple songs, and we will eagerly, if in somewhat of a fatigued fashion, seek and look for him. Thank you.